Luke chapter 18. We'll go toward the end of the chapter here and read part of chapter 19 as well. We're getting ready to go into Jericho, and then we're going to go out of Jericho, and something's going to happen on each end, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. All about Him. Let's start with, verse 35. Verse 35 of Luke 18. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Excuse me, Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Read the first 14 verses here this evening. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, excuse me, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Here in this 21st chapter, we have Abraham. He has great joy, and then he turns around and has great sorrow, both. He has both here in this chapter. And as we journey through this world, as we're pilgrims on our way to that celestial city, and we journey in this world as God's blessed people, we never, ever can come to a point in our lives when God has nothing to teach us. Never come to that place where God has nothing to teach us. And we want to be taught. I want to be taught of the Lord. You know, that our Lord Jesus Christ said, they shall all be taught of the Lord. And God is constantly teaching us lessons. He keeps coming, and these lessons coming from the Lord about God. We keep learning about God. We keep learning about life and our relationship to the Lord and all the relationships that we have. And here, he take Abraham. He's 100 years old. And he's about to teach Abraham some things. And he's been teaching Abraham some things. And as he teaches Abraham, he teaches us, and us through him. And look at the joy that he first enjoyed here, the joy that he first enjoyed. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he, as he had said, and the Lord did speak unto Sarah, did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. First of all, he had joy because of the promised seed. You know how many years had passed since God made promise to Abraham that he's going to have a seed? Way back in chapter 15, he said, I don't have a seed. I'm going childless. I don't have an heir. God said, you're going to have an heir. 25 years at the minimum is how long it took. But God gave him the promise. This is that promise that God gave him. This is the fulfillment of that promise that God made to Abraham. And that's what it says there. He said, the Lord did as he had spoken, did to Sarah as he had spoken unto her. You know, God told her that, you know, there's going to be a set time that I'm going to come back and you're going to have a son. You're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And she laughed in her heart and said, how can I, an old woman, have pleasure and have a child? And the Lord, remember when the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? Abraham went in and said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you did. I heard you. And that time it was a laugh of almost incredulity. You know, this can't possibly happen. Now when she laughs, it's a different kind of a laugh. But this tells us this, that when God makes a promise, he's in no hurry. He's no hurry. When he gives a promise, he's in no hurry. Huh? He has all of his eternity to fulfill his purpose. What he started in Genesis, Before the world began, things are just now coming to pass that he purposed back from eternity to happen today. So God don't get in no hurry. We get in a hurry. Shirley was talking about that today. He said, that's one thing God teaches us as we get older. We learn to wait. When we're young, we want things now. We want things to happen. We want to see things. We want this, that, and the other. We want it right now. But after God puts us and teaches us some things, we learn to wait. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to wait till he tells us what. We're not going to make a move unless he directs us. And that's why God's no hurry. He has all eternity to fulfill his purpose. You see, God is almighty. God's almighty. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, is anything too hard for him? Abraham and Sarah tried to have a son. And they couldn't, so what did he do? They had one after the flesh. And our Lord Jesus, that's what Ishmael is, his son after the flesh. And God told our Lord Jesus Christ, says, the flesh profits nothing. Even your flesh, Abraham, don't profit nothing. Hagar's flesh don't profit. When you have a child of the flesh, that's all you're ever going to have. But this is the child of promise. This is the one that God promised that at the time, the same time, I'm going to come and visit you. And all, beloved, even the flesh, when Abraham, Sarah gave Abraham, Hagar to Abraham and she had that son, even the flesh didn't stop God's purpose. Even their sin didn't stop God's purpose. Even what they tried to fulfill God's purpose, it never stopped God's purpose. And I tell you what, our flesh is not going to stop God's purpose. And how much we fail ain't going to stop God's purpose. And you know, we sometimes think, Lord, you know, I'd like this to happen here, there, and the other. But listen, there ain't nothing happening until God says it's time for it to happen. I know a dear brother way up in his 90s. He wants to go, he wants to leave this world so bad. He wants to go on so much. But he can't go. Why? It's not time. It's not the Lord's time. But when it's time, he'll be the happiest person. Oh, he'll wait. Oh my, but look what God's faithfulness is. What he promised, he performed. Look what he says there in verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And listen to this. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. Oh, there's a set time for everything. There's a time and a purpose for everything under the heavens. And what he promised, he said, at the set time of which he had spoken. What he promised, he performed. And if he makes a promise, he's going to perform it. And you know, Abraham's faith was tried and tested. And God tries our faith and he tests our faith. And why he does it is to show the genuineness of our faith. A faith that can't endure trials, a faith that can't wait on God, a faith that can't take God at his word, a faith that can't endure trial is no faith whatsoever. It's none whatsoever. Look, keep Genesis and look over here in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. Here's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. The scriptures tells us exactly what happened. Oh my. It was a hard thing that God promised Abraham. And I tell you what, God kept his promise. You know, Abraham just waited and waited and waited and waited. And look what it says here. In verse 19, talking about Abraham now. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. No life, no ability to produce any life out of his body. Not a natural son, not any kind of a son, not any kind of a flesh. And now when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet he didn't even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And she says, well, she said, can I possibly have a child? But listen to this. He staggered not at the promise of God to unbelief. He didn't back up and say, oh my, I don't know if God can do that or not. I don't know if this is going to happen or not. You reckon this will really happen? No, no. No, no. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And listen to this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If he made a promise, he'd go to perform it. Did he make a promise? He performed it. And oh my, God has a set time for accomplishing his will and fulfilling his word. Nothing, nothing is ever left to chance. Nothing is contingent upon the creature. Look what he said over here in Genesis 17:21. Talking about God made this promise to Abraham and Sarah. Look what she said here. God, the Lord Jesus had done told Abraham when he came, and Abraham was 99 years old and made that covenant with him. And then it says, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Because he said, you know, in verse 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah bear that that is 90 years old? And it tells us over there he is strong in faith, being persuaded that whatever God promised. Look in 18:14. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Told Abraham she's going to have one, and told her at the set time. And everything happens at God's set time. And I tell you what, if that makes life to me. Now, I don't know what it does for you. It makes life very simple for me. In this sense, that my life has been ordered of the Lord. Everything about my life has been ordered of the Lord. Everything about it. Surely is ordered of the Lord. Me being a pastor is ordered of the Lord. The time that I leave here is ordered of the Lord. My health is ordered by the Lord. Everything about the hairs of my head is ordered by the Lord. And there's a set time for everyone. There's a set time for us to be tried. There's a set time for us to have joy. There's a set time for us to weep. There's a set time for us to enjoy the blessings of God. There's a set time that we enjoy great health. And there'll be a set time when our health won't be so great. But everything has a set time. Doesn't that make life wonderful? I'm not going to get up tomorrow and figure I'm going to have that my life is going to be according to the luck of the draw. My life and your life is not going to be based on how many cards are dealt to us and how our cards turn over. That's not the way life is. God, He didn't give us a deck of cards and we turn them over and remember how they come out that day. That's not the way life is. Bless His holy name. Ain't you thankful that everything that happens in our lives, God has ordered it for us, set it for us, and we get up in the morning and say, this is God's day. Let's be glad and rejoice in it. Well, I don't feel so good. It's still the Lord's day we're going to rejoice in. And I tell you what, sometimes the way He brings us is painful. Very painful. But oh my. But God said at the set time, He said, at the set time. And oh, what did He do? Just like the set time of which God had spoken to Him. He said, I set a time at the set time. And oh, Isaac was the son of promise. And Abraham, at verse 3 here of Genesis 21. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now here's this Isaac is the son of promise. He's a miracle child, supernaturally born of God. There's no way that Abraham could have a child. Sarah could have a child. This is a miracle child, supernatural born child. A child born by the power of God and the promise of God. A child given to them because God said, I'm going to do it. You can't. They tried for years to have you. Couldn't have one. But when God said, you're going to have one, they had one. It was God said, you're going to. And it was a miracle child. Sarah's womb was dead. And Abraham trusted the Lord. Circumcised that boy. And what that circumcision marked him off. This is my son. He's in the covenant with me. God made the promise to me, and the promise goes back down, goes right on into Isaac. And then when Rebekah had Jacob and Esau, went right down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the way the Jews still pray. God of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you go to one of these synagogues, and that's what they say, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But oh my. But he had circumcision of the flesh. But God circumcises us. And you know where He circumcises us at? In the heart. He takes away that old one. He takes away that. He said, I'll take out that stony heart. And I'll put in a heart of flesh. I'll cleanse you. And I'll wash you. And not only that. I heard Tim James up at Mabscott years and years ago. He preached a message. I forget which one of the minor prophets he used, but he says, you know, rend your heart and not your garments. And he started talking about rending the heart. And who can rend the heart? Who can break a heart? Who can rip a heart apart? Who can take it apart? Who can break it? Who can rip it apart? Who can expose it? Who can see into it? Who's going to rend it? The Jews, you know, they'd grieve and they'd rip their clothes apart. That's what they do to show their grief. God says, I'll rend the heart. I can break it open. I can rip it open. I can expose it. And when you see it, oh, that thing's rotten. Give me your heart, these preachers say. God don't want your heart the way it is. He's got to make a new one. And oh my. And God, He circumcises our hearts and circumcises our ears. He said, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You Jews, you've got hard hearts and you got deaf ears. God says, we're circumcised with the putting off of the filth of the flesh by the Spirit of God, circumcised in the heart, circumcised in the ears. We can hear and we can feel. We're clean and we're in the covenant because the Spirit of God put us in. Right? Oh my. Now look what happens here in verse 6. Here's a laugh. I almost named this message here. The laughter heard around the world. Because, you know, this laughter's been preached on all over the world. Look what it said. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. You know, I laugh all the time when I'm preaching. You all know that. That's the way I express my joy. I express my joy by laughing. And when I get happy, I laugh. And when it blesses my heart, I laugh. Well, that's what happened to Sarah here. God did make me laugh. She just was overjoyed. She was just overjoyed and just laughed. And look what she said here. So that all that will hear, when they hear that I'm going to have a son, when Abraham and I'm going to have the son of promise, when they hear that, they're going to just joy with me. They're going to laugh with me. They're going to rejoice with me. And we're going to just rejoice. Oh, we're going to laugh. That was altogether different than the laugh she had when she's over in that tent. Oh, my. And all this laughter, what it means is it's just a joyous laughter. She's satisfied. Oh, she's so happy. She's so thankful. She's so grateful. And that's why she says, God hath made me to laugh. God made me to enjoy this day, to enjoy this child, to enjoy the fulfillment of His promise. And oh my, she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? I tell you who said it. God told him. Who would have said it unto Abraham? The Lord did. The Lord did. And oh my, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Now look what happens. And the child grew and was weaned. Now a child in those days, I guess they do it this day, you know. They don't wean a child till it gets up pretty good sized youngin'. And they generally from 3 to 5 years old when they weaned a child. And when that child grew and she weaned him. Abraham said, oh my, we got to have a feast. We got to have a feast. God fulfilled His promise. I've kept His word. I've circumcised him. Our home is full of joy. Our home is full of peace. Our home is full of the promises of God. We got to have us a feast. This is like the father when his prodigal was coming home. Oh, let's have a feast. And oh my, he had a feast. And oh, I tell you it says it was a great feast. I tell you, one of these days, we're going to go to a great feast. We sang that old song that our Lord Jesus Christ will gird himself and serve us sweet manna all around. Holy manna all around. One of these days, we all going to be weaned. We're going to be, you talking about a feast. We'll have a feast. And now, oh my, that's the joy they had. Oh, what joy they had. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. God did just what He said He's going to do at the set time. Now, but here's the sadness part. Here's the sorrow part. Abraham had joy, but he also had sorrow. And ain't that the way it is with us? We have joy, and then we have sorrow. And look what happens here in verse 9. On this feast day, when Isaac was weaned, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. This boy's a pretty big boy now. When she had borne unto Abraham, she saw him mocking. She's making fun. He is making fun of Isaac. Making fun of this young child. Making fun of him.
mocking him, didn't like him.
See, up to this time, Ishmael had been the only child. He got all the attention. He had all the power. He got all the attention. His father, Abraham, just doted over him, and Hagar doted over him. But I tell you what, born unto Abraham was mocking. And here's Abraham, sin with Hagar, now bears fruit. Paul told the Galatians, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap of the flesh. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap of the Spirit. Here he sowed to the flesh. And he's reaping of the flesh. Look what happens here. And she was mocking. She was mocking. He was the only child. Now he mocks and he persecutes the child of promise. He's probably 16, 17 years old. And when Isaac came along, Ishmael lost his power, lost his position. But Abraham, I tell you what, when the child born of the Spirit came, that exposed Ishmael's true colors. And ain't that the way it is? When that child of promise was born, that child of the flesh, he saw that child of the promise, and he showed his true colors. I don't like him. I can't have no fellowship with him. I'm not. And ain't that the way with us? When that new person comes into existence, oh, Ishmael in us raises up. Don't like that child of promise, that child that God gave us. And we didn't have any problem. Did anybody have any problem with sin until they got converted? But now look what happens here now. She said in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, when she saw Hagar, the son of Hagar, mocking her son, persecuting her son. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, with Isaac. Oh my. This bondwoman and her son. Not my son, her son. Not your son, her son. And oh my, cast him out. And over in Galatians, it tells us why they do that. The bond and the spirit can't. That's why law and spirit can't get along. Bondage, that's why we're saved from the dominion. The law and flesh and spirit cannot get along. That's why we have this warfare. They can't get along. And that's what happened here. And Noah says in verse 11, the thing was very grievous. Didn't say just grievous, very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Oh, the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Oh my, this was his son. He loved this boy. He loved him. You know he did. He enjoyed him. And it was grievous to Abraham. He loved him, enjoyed him, probably had a lot of wonderful time with him. But this was grievous. Oh, it hurt him so. But look what God did for him. Look what God did for him. You talk about God's strength perfected. Look what he said. God said to Abraham, oh, God always comes. He had all this great joy. Now he's grievous. His heart's hurting him. His soul's hurting him. He's sorrowful. He's full of grief. And God had said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land, because of thy bondwoman. And oh, God comes to him to comfort him. God comes to him and said, Abraham, don't be grieved. Don't let your heart hurt. Don't weep. Don't have such a heavy heart over this. Because of this boy and because of the bondwoman. Oh my. God comes to comfort him. Here's God's wisdom. And he says, in all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Hearken unto her voice. Here's God's wisdom. You're talking about God's wisdom. He said, there's trouble and strife in this home. And it's going to be because of the son of the flesh and the son of the spirit. The son of the flesh and the son of promise. They're going to fight. They can't dwell together. The bondwoman and the child of promise can't live together. It's like when Jacob and Esau was in his mother's womb. There was two different people in that womb. One of them God loved and the other one he didn't. But there was a war going on in that womb. Sarah said, I've got two different nations in me. I've got two different people in me. And I tell you what, and there's in us two different people. There's the spiritual man and there's the fleshly man. But oh, God separates the trouble and the strife that's in this home. And that son of the bondwoman and the son of promise, they can't live together. They can't. They're not going to do it. But, oh, God's promise encourages him. Look what God says to him there in verse 13. Because he said in Isaac, in verse 12, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not in Hagar's son. Not in Ishmael. Not in the bondwoman's son. For in Isaac shall thy seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation. I'll make a nation. Because he is thy seed. Because he is thy seed. Oh, God encourages him. He says the reason God does this is because he is thy seed. He blesses him because he's the child of one of his children. Oh, my. I'm going to bless this boy. He's your son. I'm going to bless him because he's yours. God blesses us because we belong to Christ. God blesses him because he's Abraham's son. He's a son of flesh. He's a son of sin. But he's the one of his child. And we cannot imagine how hard this was for Abraham to let this child go. For Abraham to let this boy go. We can't imagine. You imagine your children, let one of your children go. And he said, it hurt him. Oh, it grieved him. It hurt him so much. But God came and blessed him. And I tell you, for him to put away his own child and take him out of his house and take him out and say, there you go. There you go. But Abraham obeys, and look what happens now. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, got him some bread. That bread means food. It don't mean just a loaf of bread. It means food. And a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and listen to this, and sent her away. And she departed, she went, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Abraham obeyed, did what God told him to do. And here's something I want you to notice. Hagar doesn't seem to have resisted. She didn't say, this is not right. You shouldn't do this. This is not the right thing to do. She didn't resist. Ishmael didn't rebel. Said, I'm not leaving. Hagar didn't resist, and Ishmael didn't rebel. And this is all the best the world can do for a person. And that's of the flesh. She gave him a bottle of water and some bread, some food. That's the best that flesh can give flesh. Flesh can't do nothing for flesh. Here's your bottle of water. Here's your little food. That's the best that flesh can give to flesh. But God's grace is absolutely sufficient for Abraham in all this. He believed God. The promise was fulfilled. He rejoiced and thanked God for what he had done. He believed him and he circumcised his child. And when God told him to cast him out, he cast him out. And God's grace was sufficient when he rejoiced. And God's grace was sufficient when he had to cast. Rejoice when he got the son of promise and rejoice when he had to cast another one out. His grace sufficient when you're up. Grace sufficient when you're down. Grace sufficient when you rejoice. Grace sufficient when you're greatly tried. Huh? Is that not right? And God's grace is sufficient. If it's for Abraham, it's sufficient for us too. Father, in the blessed name of Christ, thank you for the day. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that your word was a blessing, that it encouraged, that it helped and instructed. But Lord, that's in your hands to do. And Lord, it's in your hands to cause it to be a blessing, not in mine, it's in yours. And I pray that you cause it to be so, as only you can. Preserve these dear saints. Keep them as they go. Keep them as they go. Help us to always, always look to you and trust you and believe you and obey you in your precious word. We ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.